What are they supposed to think? Well, I think they should be realistic. You know, Florida, although I think the letdown possibility here is real, both emotionally and just in terms of, like, extra cold tub for the Gators after you play Alabama. I think you also saw that's a pretty good football team Dan Mullen has. And I was stunned. Really, I was stunned both lines of scrimmage. And I know some of it is scheme and having a mobile quarterback, but running the ball and stopping the run for Florida in that game, I did not anticipate either things going Florida's way as much as they did. And look, this is just going to be a really tough assignment. I mean, I'm a little stunned. I guess I saw a line today. It was up to 20.5. That's a big number. But look, this would be a massive upset, and being competitive in this game would be an achievement.
Florida was able to really move the ball on the ground against Alabama, rushing for right around 245 yards. But that's been a strength of Tennessee's defense, their rush defense. Is that something that the Vols can build on and try to get some positive momentum out of?
Yeah, I just don't know, Heather, with considering Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech are two of those three opponents, and really that's not Pittsburgh's strength either. You know, they have decent backs, but, I mean, they are definitely built around Kenny Pickett and those receivers. I just, you know, it's hard for me to have a great feel for what Tennessee's rush defense is. They're going to have to be, I mean, it's a much, much bigger challenge than anything they've faced yet. I think it's certainly a better offensive line than Pittsburgh had. And again, just Emory Jones, who, I mean, it's kind of crazy. The guy's getting booed at home, and then all of a sudden he has just, to me, just an amazing second half of that game. And if he's building on that, that's a problem, because you also have to account for him along with just handling things up front. Your linebackers have got to be really good. You know, is Juwan Mitchell going to be ready to go? And then you've got to be able to get some disruption up front. I mean, a guy like Elijah Simmons in this game, you know, you want to see him causing havoc and making Florida be off schedule a little bit. And then you also, if you can get him in passing downs, this is where you hope that Tyler Barron and now Byron Young, now that he's in the mix, can give you some playmaking and mess Florida up a little bit off the edge.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com. Joe, unique topic here, Tennessee's quarterback position. What do you say this week, as Hendon Hooker was the guy this past Saturday, Joe Milton coming back from some kind of leg injury? What do you think heading into Florida?
I think if it were me and I felt good about Joe Milton's health, and felt good that he could, you know, really be a factor in the run game, then I think I would go back to Joe Milton. And I think it's close, and you could make a case certainly for Hendon Hooker, but I haven't seen quite enough from him to give the job to him over Joe Milton. I really liked a lot of what Joe Milton did in the Pittsburgh game, other than obviously arm punting instead of connecting on all those deep throws. And look, at some point, like, you have to cash in. But I think Hooker's also, he had some plays that he left out on the field against Tennessee Tech in what was basically a 7-on-7 scrimmage against air. And I just think Joe Milton, at his best, gives you a better chance to pull something off in a game like this than a Hendon Hooker would. And maybe you also could be worse. You know, maybe there's a bigger range of performance with Hooker Milton compared to Hooker. But I think I'm going for whoever gives me the best shot and who can make some plays that could flip a game like this, change a game like this.
Joe, where's your optimism level right now for Tennessee making a bowl game? And if we're talking about Tennessee either covering the number or pulling off a shocking upset, what has to go right for the Vols?
Well, obviously, Heather, I mean, that Pittsburgh game is big, but I still think the Vols, I still think you can look at that schedule and find the wins, you know, for the Vols to get it done. Obviously, to me, I'm discounting, this game. probably. I mean, Alabama, you go ahead and just throw that out. Georgia, throw that out. But, like, even at Kentucky. I mean, look at Kentucky this week against Chattanooga. Like, Will Levis, I think it's a great addition for them. They can throw the ball. But, look, Tennessee's history against Kentucky, even when they've had really good teams, Tennessee has had some success against them. So, like, there's one that I just think this offense, I think it does a couple of things. One, it helps you avoid, like, I think getting upset by inferior teams. Like, you know, it just you run that offense with your talent, you're going to overwhelm like a Tennessee Tech or a Bowling Green. But also I do think it gives you a chance when you're an underdog, you know, not a massive underdog like in some of these games ahead, but, you know, like a Kentucky team like that, a Missouri, which I think actually could be a close matchup anyway. You know, the offense could make the difference for you. In some cases, an equalizer, in some cases, make the difference. So I still think Tennessee has a solid shot to get to six.
We're talking to Joe Rexrode from TheAthletic.com. He's on the radio every morning in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. What about the Titans, that road win, that comeback win against the Seahawks in overtime on Sunday?
Yeah, did not see that coming. you know, I was in Seattle, and really it was probably the loudest NFL stadium I've experienced. It was very good, and it's 24-9, and then it's 30-16. And it looks like the Titans are toast. They're giving up, you know, bombs on just total coverage bus and, you know, Russ Wilson and all those things going on. And then, you know, Derrick Henry, to me, I mean, that's what the story was. The story was that Derrick Henry hit a home run to cut the lead in half, to 30-23 with about 12 minutes left. And for the rest of the game, he just completely dominated. He was the dominant player in that game. Talking about career high, you know, 41 touches, 35 carries, 6 catches, punishing that team. And the Titans defense, and they give up 6 points in the second half in overtime. The last 4 possessions for Seattle, 1 first down. So there's some progress there too. You know, week 1 in the NFL season can be very dishonest. It can be very deceiving. Titans were awful against Arizona, but I think this is more of what they're going to be, which is a good to very good team.
Is that also the winning formula for the Titans? You have Derrick Henry, just keep giving the ball to him. He's going to wear teams down in the third and fourth quarters.
It is. But I almost wonder if, like, maybe they should just bench him in the first half, and then he'll only have, like, 23 carries, you know, but the defense still might be tired. You know, it's like, I mean, at some point you do, if you're the Titans, you have to look at it and say, man, he can't touch the ball 40 times. Over and over, and then expect him to be fresh all year, even though it looks like he's the one delivering the punishment, not the other way around. Like, still, that has to be a wear and tear factor for as much of a cyborg as he seems to be at times. But certainly, Heather, that is, like, you get to the fourth quarter, it's just incredible the difference when early in games teams are just, they are geared up to stop him. They are packing the box, they are jumping into those gaps in the outside zone stuff, and then all of a sudden, man, the same exact people look like they just want to punch out for the day in the fourth quarter.
Joe, have you suggested the idea of a first half benching of Derrick Henry to Mike Vrabel? Because if you have not, I want to make sure I get video of it when you do.
I have not, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll just do that. We don't have him today, we get him tomorrow, so maybe I'll say, hey, just what have you considered, you know, just making Derrick a second half player, you know, maybe, who knows, you could run him out there on like punt or kickoff return or something to keep him involved a little bit, and then you bring him out in the second half. This could be like a revolutionary football scheming moment for the Titans.
Hey, I'll back you on it. One more thing, we'll get you out of here. I know it is still early, we're just 2 weeks in, but does the rest of the AFC South look like the mess that maybe we thought that it could be? Indianapolis already dealing with injuries again to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Indianapolis is a potentially good team. I mean, the Colts almost beat the Rams, and I think the Rams are really good. But to your point, Josh, I mean, Carson Wentz now, both ankles are sprained. I mean, the Colts cannot afford to go 0-3. Now, they haven't lost in Nashville to the Titans since 2017 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. So they are used to coming in here and winning. But if they have Jacob Eason Sunday, I can't imagine how they pull that off. And if they fall to 0-3, then yeah, I mean, the Titans will have a real strong early edge, and maybe it won't be a huge sweat to win the division.
Yeah, big game this week for the Titans against the Colts. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. TheAthletic.com, anything to tease there at the website before we let you go?
For Vols fans, I do have a story coming up, a very interesting story on a key defensive player this week. So there's a little tease for something coming up.
I like it. Be on the lookout. TheAthletic.com, worth your subscription. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.